Good morning, church.
Good morning.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Well, welcome to our 10:30 remembrance service led by Michael this morning. Some reminders and some notices. The first one, a reminder that the service of remembrance will be up at the memorial at 12:15. And that there will be teas and coffees after the service that you may take up with you to the service with you, just to help with sort of tidying up and clearing up. If you can take your cups with you, that would be great. As many of you will know by now, Jenna Thorne will be leaving us in the next week or so, and we will be saying our goodbyes to her on the 28th of November after the service here. So you are welcome to join us in saying goodbye to her. Can I remind you that the donations are outside with the card reader, but we now also, just by the middle pillar there, we have a box. So if any of you have any money that you'd like to donate, there's a box for you to be able to put it into that. Also, just a reminder that the church bazaar will be next Saturday, and so any donations, if you can leave them in the office, that would be much appreciated. Shoe boxes, that's the Friday the 26th and the Saturday the 27th, all help appreciated. Please see Chris and Fiona if you'd like to volunteer for that one. And very quickly, Messer Church next Sunday. Look forward to seeing you. Thank you. I'll hand over to Michael and look forward to what you share with us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning, everyone. Well, today, of course, is a very, very special day, Remembrance Day. And I think it's rather an appropriate moment to say a big thank you to Pam Utting and all the many ladies, I think, particularly, who've supported her in this wonderful display. Not only that we've got cascading outside the church, but also here inside the church. And of course, as you probably... As you probably know, and we were reminded if you watched the Festival of Remembrance last night, it's the 100th year since the Royal British Legion started up, and of course poppies have been on sale ever since that time. But today we've come to worship God together, to give thanks for the freedom that we enjoy and to recognise what this has cost and continues to cost in so many people. But we're going to begin our service, continue our service now as we normally do, with an intergenerational slot, and I'm going to hand over to Charlotte to lead us in this. Thank you, Charlotte.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, as Michael said, today is Remembrance Sunday, and it's a time that we remember and we pray for peace. And it's really, really important that we do both, because we want to live in a world that doesn't have hate, that doesn't have conflict. We want to live in a world that is full of love and full of peace. And that's the world that God wants for all of us too. Not just for us here, not just for those who live in Loughton, but for everybody all around the world. So we're going to pray and then we're going to sing a song, okay? And there's a few actions that you can follow along with if you like. So we're going to start by pointing to our heads. So God, today we remember and give thanks for those who gave their lives for us. Go to our hearts. We remember and give thanks for all those who love us. And we remember and say thank you, God, to you for your amazing love for each and every one of us. We pray that one day we will live in a world full of peace and love. Would you help us to share your love and your peace with everybody, today and always. And shall we finish with a big roly-poly amen? Ready? Amen! Great. And we're going to sing a song now. We haven't sung this one for a little while, but it reminds us of God's love for us, and it's based on John 3:16, and it's called For God So Loved the World. And I'm going to go stand over here because the actions are on the video. So let's, if you'd like to, please stand and follow along as we sing For God So Loved the World. Now, so if you are in primary school, you will be upstairs with Fiona, she's just over here, and with Kat. So if you're in primary school, if you want to make your way towards Fiona and Kat, if you're not at school yet, we're going to be through this door with me and with Julia, okay? So if everyone knows where they're going, let's make our way into our group. So we're going to go through here.
Thank you, Shona. And so we continue our act of worship on this Remembrance Sunday as we sing together the hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. And if you are by chance still using a book, then it's number 132.
Thank you.
I expect every one of us has certain memories when it comes to Remembrance Sunday. And for many of us, I'm sure, we can even remember what happened in the Second World War. I'm sure there are a number of us here who were alive at that time. I know I was only a young child, and I can remember a couple of times, even though it's a bit vague, being taken out when suddenly the siren went off and being sort of lifted up and carried out to the shelter, the Anderson shelter at the back of our house, and then sort of hearing all the bangs and things going on around. And one thing I can remember also quite clearly is the day that my dad came home from being in the war. He'd served on the continent and in North Africa, and it was something I shall never forget. But I'm sure all of us treasure memories, some which perhaps concern things more personal, and others which perhaps concern things on a national level. But in a moment we're going to have a prayer together, and then after that I'd like us just to remain seated and quiet, because I've asked Malcolm if he will play Nimrod from the Enigma Variations by Edward Elgar. It's a piece that is often associated with this day, and it's probably being played at the Cenotaph even now, or roundabout now. And after that solo which Malcolm's going to play, we are then going to link up with what's going on in Whitehall, so we'll be able to feel the atmosphere of what's going on around the Cenotaph on this very, very special morning. But first of all, a prayer together. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come together to remember the past, the cost of war, the price of peace, the scope of human depravity, and the extent of human self-sacrifice. Help us to live and work for peace, to give our all in the cause of a better world. We come to you, our refuge and our strength, conscious that you seek love, life, justice and peace for all, having offered your only Son for the sake of the world to make us whole. Help us this morning truly to remember you and others through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. in a moment we're going to link up with the what's going on in Whitehall and sense the atmosphere of all those thousands of people that are gathered there as they remember all that happened in not only the big Second and First World Wars, but other conflicts that have taken place around the world and still do, even at this time. So we'll remain seated as we join the thousands of people gathered in Whitehall at this morning, and then when it comes to the moment where we hear the guns, as it were, saying that it's 11 o'clock dead on, I can invite you, if you're able, to stand for the 2 minutes silence. Thank you, Peter.
Standing on Whitehall with your back to Parliament Square, you'd be looking straight at Lieutenant Colonel Simon Hall on his dais. He's in his great coat and bearskin with his ceremonial sword, his white gloves with his baton in his right hand. He has his back to the south of the cenotaph, and if you were there looking at him, he's framed with the words, "The glorious dead," etched on the southern side of the Portland Stone Memorial. The music is "When I'm Laid in Earth" from Henry Purcell's opera, Dido and Aeneas. Choir and clergy of Her Majesty's Chapels Royal emerge now from the Foreign Office, led by the processional cross adorned with a cluster of red poppies. Borne today by Jack Fonseca Burt, Jack is a chorister turned stonemason and has recently been working on renovations to Big Ben and the Elizabeth Tower. He's walking from west to east. He's beneath my perch, now turning north. Behind him, page boys. They're processing to the eastern side of the cenotaph. The choir of the Chapels Royal traces its history back more than 900 years. Supreme Sacrifice, composed by Charles Harris soon after the end of the First World War, the tune to the hymn "O Valiant Hearts," as political leaders emerge, led by the Prime Minister. I think I see five former Prime Ministers. I'll bring you more information as our service continues. A political procession forming on the west side of the cenotaph. Parliamentary representatives now, the Crown dependencies, the UK overseas territories, members of the armed forces and civilian services, the Ambassador of Ireland to Great Britain, the Ambassador of Nepal, and the High Commissioners from nearly 50 Commonwealth countries will fill the pavements to east, south, and west. Representatives are here of the faith and belief communities, and they take their position behind the High Commissioners on the west side. For me to note that the balcony opposite, blue velvet with a golden braid sash, where Her Majesty has stood for the past few years, will be empty. She has missed 6 other Remembrance Day services here at the Cenotaph. The reasons over time have included foreign trips and pregnancies. The military detachment's coming to attention. Our royal party will be led today by His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales. Looking down from the balconies, Her Royal Highness the Duchess of Cornwall, Her Royal Highness the Duchess of Cambridge, Vice Admiral Sir Tim Lawrence, His Royal Highness the Duke of Kent, Their Royal Highnesses the Duke and Duchess of Gloucester, Her Royal Highness Princess Alexandra, the Honourable Lady Ogilvie. Walking towards me now, the Prince of Wales taking position on the north side of the cenotaph. He's in the uniform of the Admiral of the Fleet, the Duke of Cambridge behind him, the Earl of Wessex, the Princess Royal, and the Duke of Kent. We're approaching the heart of our morning. The King's Troop Royal Horse Artillery will fire a solitary field gun in Horse Guards Parade, and as Big Ben strikes 11, the 2 minute silence will begin.
Please be seated.
Be loved.
And now let us pray together. Loving God, once more we have been reminded of the terrible cost of war, the suffering and the sacrifice of so many, the depth of humanity some have to face, and the heights that others have scaled in the service of others. We have heard again today words which have been spoken countless times over the years by innumerable people in all kinds of places, lest we forget. Yet the tragedy is we do forget all too easily. And this annual remembrance being a token gesture observed sincerely and respectfully, but then over and done with for another year. Teach us, Lord, to remember not just today, but every day. Loving God, forgive us that despite our words and our best intentions, we have so often forgotten the lessons of the past. Speak to us through all that we have heard and shared today, so that we can truly say and truly mean, we will remember them. Teach us to remember not just today, but every day. Amen. And now let's sing together hymn number 696, For the Healing of the Nations.
This reading is from Matthew 5, verses 1 to 11, and it's the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Amen.
Thank you, Jane. On this special day of remembrance, we meet here just as they have been meeting in the Senate, around the cenotaph, and throughout the country, many thousands of congregations meeting just as we are. And I want to reflect on remembering. Today we rightly remember all those human lives who were caught up and laid down through wars of various kinds, in various places and at various times. Some decades ago and some going on even now. But for some of us, that remembrance is deeply personal. Some can recall people, friends, faces they knew. Some can recall relatives, loved ones who went away to war and never came back. And life never seemed quite the same again afterwards. Some today will remember spouses and children and parents currently in war zones and pray for their safety. When the film Titanic was in the cinemas, with the main characters being played by Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, I read a story about someone who had been to see the film and had been in tears throughout the whole film. And he was asked why, and he explained how his grandfather, a trumpeter in the band, was thrilled to be offered work by the White Star Line to serve on their new ship, Titanic. And just 3 days before the maiden voyage, he contracted scarlet fever and was therefore left behind. When I watched that film, the man said, it suddenly struck me, had he not got ill on that occasion, I would have never existed. For some of us, the proper remembrance of a day like this is maybe powerful but less personal. We try to get our minds around the figures of 60 million people dead in the Second World War, struggling in the same way we do when we try to imagine the 100 billion stars in our Milky Way. It just blows our mind. But we do recognize the brutality of humans one to another. And we do see what's going on around in our world today. And we can resolve to be, as far as it lies within us, to be people of peace. Our remembering becomes a deep commitment to reject the ways of war and violence and to take seriously and to take hard the wonderful command of Jesus when he told us to love one another. And that was that there was no greater sacrifice than a person lay down their life for their friends, which of course is exactly what he did on the cross, which for Christians is understood and known to be the greatest act of love the world has ever known. Some time ago, I read an article about a Methodist minister who prepared a questionnaire which he circulated amongst the members of the three churches for which he had pastoral responsibility. It was a fairly simple questionnaire inviting people to try and pinpoint some hopes of their hopes for the future. He divided it into three sections. What do you hope for in your personal and family life? What do you hope for in the life of the church? And what do you hope for on a worldwide level? He invited members of his congregations, also with some of the other groups, such as the Men's Forum and the Women's Meeting and the Youth Club, to take part in this exercise. But the most revealing thing was this, that although the answers revealed the age of those taking part, there was one particular word that kept appearing, and that was the word peace. 10 years later, that same minister conducted a similar exercise with the church he was with, the churches he was with at that time. And the country had undergone significant social and political changes, and the same, of course, was true throughout the world. However, once again, the same word, peace, was dominant in the answers to his questionnaire. And that, of course, has been true in every generation. And Jesus says, doesn't he, in one of the Beatitudes that Jane read to us just a moment ago, happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. And what he's really saying is, happy are those who make this world a better place for everyone to live in. The word peace is much more than just an absence of war. Rather, it is something positive. It is a specific relationship with God. And we are to be peacemakers. And if we are, we must first make our peace with God. One of my favourite choruses in Handel's Messiah is, "For unto us a child is born." And the words of the prophet Isaiah are sung. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The question we all need to ask ourselves is simply this. Have we made peace with God through all that Jesus has done for us on the cross? If we can honestly say yes to that question, can we also say that we are spreading the peace of God? Are we practicing the peace of God? To have peace with God and to have the peace of God is not enough. This vertical relationship must have a horizontal outworking. Otherwise, our faith is in vain. Jesus said that we are to love the Lord with all our hearts and our neighbours as ourselves. If we have peace with God and the peace of God, we will become peacemakers. And there are many areas of life where this we can be peacemakers. In our homes, in our community, in our church, in our place of work, in the world. True peacemaking is an act of love that works for reconciliation, for the good of each person. Peacemaking is something we should all be involved in, but it's not something we should kid ourselves about. You and I, we can never make peace in our own strength, no more than a bricklayer can build a wall without a trowel, or an artist create a picture without a brush and paint. We must have the proper equipment. To be a peacemaker, we must know the peace giver. To make peace on earth, we must know the peace of heaven. We must know him who is our peace. We live out our identity as God's children when we become true peacemakers. When we take on Christ's nature of love and forgiveness and reconciliation. There are numerous ways in which we can have the opportunity every day to act as peacemakers or to perpetuate the things that cause division. We can show forgiveness or nurse grievances. We can swallow our pride or just thrust ourselves forward in every situation. We can honestly admit our mistakes or refuse to bend. We can make the first move or resist every advance. We all have the opportunity in our daily relationships to work for harmony and reconciliation, but few of us take the opportunity as often as we should. I believe the challenge for each one of us is simply this: which are we? Peacemakers or peace breakers? Let us remember the past is to commit ourselves to the future. To remember war is to commit ourselves to peace. To remember violence and tyranny is to commit ourselves to love. Let us promise to strive for peace in our world, starting in our hearts and in our homes, and let us promise to build peace into our community, our neighbourhood, our country, and in the world. Amen. And now we're going to sing again hymn number 707, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace."
Thank you. our time to pray for others. Let us pray. In remembrance of those throughout time, all over the world, who have died in war or because of war, we pray urgently today that children, women and men may become makers of peace. We pray for children growing up in violent surroundings or thinking, talking and playing in warlike ways. God, give to our people a new challenge, new ways in which to test their strength in sharing power and risking non-violence. We pray for women who are silent while their male partners engage in any part of the business of war. God, give your people a new courage to question accepted dogma and dream about the things that make for peace. We pray for men brought up to believe that might is manly, and for men who think otherwise and are so-called labelled cowardly or weak. God, give to your people a new determination to struggle for justice and peace instead of for extra shares and superiority. God, we pray for newness of the battlefield within us, new ways of challenging aggressive instincts, new thought patterns, language and ideas, new appreciation of the world as one community, new methods of dialogue and negotiation, new attempts to befriend those different from ourselves, new readiness to forgive and reconcile, new visions, new love, new hope, and a new faith that peace that passes understanding can reach out from within us to embrace the world. Finally, we pray for the sick and the suffering, especially those known to us. All those wrestling with illness in body, mind or spirit. We pray for those disturbed or troubled in mind, those whose confidence has broken down, those unable to cope with the pressures of daily life, those oppressed by forced terrors of the imagination, those facing the dark despair of clinical depression. We bring these prayers to you now from the quietness of our heart, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we say together now the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as though we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
So we sing our final hymn together, which is number 705. It is God Who Holds the Nations. as we all know, at the moment, we're not taking our offering in the usual way, but all of us, I'm sure, are giving our offertory in one way or another. And so the first part of our prayer is to thank God and to offer our gifts to him. And then after that, a final blessing. God our Father, we thank you again for your great love to us, something that we cannot even begin to measure. And yet we are so grateful. We bring now our gifts, not as any settling of a debt, but as a gesture of gratitude and an expression of our love, offered to you in joyful worship. Amen. And now the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and all those who we love, wherever they may be, now and forevermore. Amen.